Our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, says that we've been endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and the first one they listed is the right to life. Of course, in America, we've had abortion for about 50 years, and it has certainly undermined that right to life. The Charlotte Lozier Institute, a pro-life group headed by Chuck Donovan, provides data recently that shows that 96% of abortions are done for birth control. Chuck Donovan joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Chuck, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be talking with you again, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Before we get into the substance of your recent study about why women seek abortions, how about just a quick comment on what the founders envisioned for America in terms of, you know, even that right to life is listed in our nation's birth certificate versus the whole abortion ethic, which really promotes killing.
Well, it does, Jerry, and I think the founders were clear that they their new truth, if you will, what they brought onto the world stage was a recognition that government doesn't create and hand out rights. It doesn't pick winners and losers, particularly when it comes to things like the right to life. It created the tension, or at least increased it, with respect to slavery. But at the end of the day, what the founders were saying is, we don't qualify your right to life, your right to pursue happiness. These are things that are part of the package you're born with.
Okay, your organization has an article recently where they break down showing why women seek abortion. We're often told rape and incest and the life of the mother. That's what abortion is all about, protecting those rights. What did your study show in contrast?
Well, you know, there are very significant debates over those exceptions, and most states have adopted them over the years. The federal Hyde Amendment has adopted them. But in truth, they are infrequent. It's really not the core of the debate. We looked at studies from 2005 and 2013, and they pretty much show the same thing that our study did. What we did was actually go directly to states' most recent reports. And Jerry, as your listeners might know, most states don't compile very good reports about abortion. So we could only find 8 states that will consistently give you the reason the woman herself cited for having an abortion, and some of the states allow her to pick 2 or more reasons. So it gets a little complicated, but at the end of the day, our survey of these states showed that categories of rape and incest constituted less than 1% of all abortions. In fact, 0.3%. In terms of the mother's life or a major bodily function being threatened by the pregnancy, it's 0.27%. And as you pointed out at the beginning, in terms of elective or birth control reasons, it's 95.7% of abortions in those states.
And then other statistics would include other physical health concerns, that's 2.5%, and then also abnormality in the unborn baby, 1.3%. What's interesting, though, and this is anecdotal as opposed to statistical, there are definitely stories where a pro-life mother has been told, your baby is, you know, has an abnormality in, you know, with XYZ problem. I recommend that you abort. And she and her husband choose not to do that. And then they give birth to a perfectly healthy baby. Now, again, that's anecdotal, not statistical, but I think it should be, you know, considered.
Well, I do too. And of course, there are conditions with the baby that can actually be treated in the womb. The number of these conditions is exploding. There are now over 30 maternal fetal units across the country that will deal with fetal surgery as early as 15 weeks in the case of twin transfusion syndrome. So the diagnosis of a problem in the baby, it does not exclude therapeutic results for the baby when doctors take a closer look.
You mentioned that there were 8 states involved in the study, and I know that your summary reports on this mention Utah and Florida by name. What would the other 6 states be then?
Oh, you might be throwing me a curve on that.
It doesn't matter, I guess. Bottom line is that you feel like this is reflective overall what you've got throughout the whole country is the bottom line.
Well, it is, and we have a number of cases or abortions reported for which we can gain classifications as 122,000 abortions, 13% of the U.S. total. So statisticians will say there's a little bit of a caveat on the numbers, but they're, in truth, they're very consistent state to state. They match very well the 2005 and 2013 data, which is based on clinic surveys. So we're pretty confident the numbers are not going to be significantly different from what we found.
You know, what's so strange, Mr. Donovan, to me, is that for years and years and years, the pro-life movement was working so hard to overturn Roe v. Wade, and it finally happened in Dobbs v. Jackson. And yet, since that has happened, it's almost as if the American people, now maybe this is just the way the media is reporting it, but you're getting the impression that the American people are not happy with the Dobbs decision. They're not happy that Roe v. Wade was overturned. And yet most Americans, if you drill down, they would not be happy with the idea of you can have abortion up to the moment of birth. So, you know, how do we explain these anomalies?
Well, one of the reasons is, of course, we have a very consistent media message that focuses on these cases that are very small percentage of the total. The media does have bias on this issue. I also think there's an element of being having a fear of change. You know, we've got a little numb to abortion numbers that are over 62 million for the last 50 years. And I think the American people have been frightened that women will be neglected. But we find in turn that there are a vast number of resources that need to be improved for women. Abortion has become an excuse for not improving them.
That is really well put. Would you say that there are certain myths that just keep driving this whole debate? I mean, in effect, your study is saying, yeah, one of the biggest myths is the idea that rape and incest comprise a large number of why women seek abortion.
Well, there's that. And there's also some of the inconsistency in what's being messaged to women. Let's take Texas. Texas is being criticized for having strong pro-life laws, but Texas has some things other states do not have. One is a strong network of pregnancy care centers and maternity homes, which it has recently increased funding for. It also funds more than half of the pregnancies and births that are cared for in the state. It has a very expansive Medicaid program. And on top of that, most of the southern states in particular, which some of which have lagged behind, are now taking the lead in expanding postpartum care for women up to at least 1 year. And they're doing it with the support of pro-life groups who recognize there are certainly holes in our system of care for women expecting babies. But the truth is we have a lot of resources we could deploy and need to, and we need to get fully behind them.
I think one thing that's not well known, too, is the whole idea of the safe harbor laws that if a mother, let's say she chooses life, she doesn't go through with the abortion, but she still doesn't feel adequate to rear that baby, she can just even bring the baby over to the fire department or whatever and you know, give the baby over, no questions asked, no problems, no prosecutions. You know, in other words, this is not something she has to throw away, which some people actually do. And of course, they never should throw it away. But some people actually literally murder their babies, not realizing about this law.
Well, I think that has been one of the unsung stories of the last couple of decades. It's been going on for some time, but all 50 states and the District of Columbia have these types of laws. They are accessed by women. A fire station in Carmel, Indiana, recently had two babies who were left there safely. They're in a comfort zone or almost an incubator-like situation. The hospital or fire station is notified that a woman who feels she cannot cope with the child can leave the baby there within the first usually 30 days after birth, and with the knowledge that that baby will be cared for. So we are basically, and I think the community as a whole is doing everything it can to give women the message that as difficult as things may be or seem to be, there are alternatives, including, of course, keeping the baby.
Can you elaborate further on these kinds of laws? You're saying it's in all 50 states plus the District of Columbia. And just explain how the law works. And in the old days, didn't it, you know, you see this in old movies or whatever, where people would put the baby in a basket and then drop the baby off in front of a church. It's the same idea, though.
It is, and it's, but it's intended. Of course, we all know the some of the laws are called Baby Moses laws because of that biblical history of how Moses was delivered to the palace. But it's meant to avert abandonment. And the key point there is that the woman faces no legal penalty. She won't be identified or prosecuted. It basically is, as you said, a safe haven. The child will be cared for, and then arrangements will be made for the baby to be adopted. And the key is to get the word out that nearly every community in the country now has the means to do this, money at health clinics, some at fire stations. But the word needs to get around. There's no need of any kind for abandoning a child. And it underscores, Jerry, that this is not at all about penalizing women. That's the other thing that's driving some of the debate. Many Americans believe it, that the pro-life movement wants women penalized. We want them helped. We're not about a summer of rage. We're about a summer of love and service. And we're going to keep going with that until every baby has a good chance at life.
Are churches included in that list of where people, you know, the women can bring the babies to?
I believe in some states. Of course, the important thing is that somebody be there 24/7. So that's why the preference for hospitals and fire stations. Even in a well-protected environment, you wouldn't want the child there for any significant period of time. These safe haven baby boxes can be opened from the inside only. But again, it's a concern that there be someone there 24/7. What churches can do is do more to be a hub and be fully aware of the services in their area for women, to advertise they're available for it. And we are sponsors of a program called Her Plan, which has published directories now for half a dozen states that we seriously hope churches will consider joining to become part of a network for life.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, and where do people get more information on these safe haven baby boxes laws or whatever, safe haven laws?
Well, one of the best places, we have a new paper published by the Lozier Institute. You can find it at LozierInstitute.org, key in safe haven, and that should take you to our paper summarizing all the state laws and opportunities on this front.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. Okay, and by the way, who was Charlotte Lozier? We have about a minute left.
Well, everybody has that question, Jerry, because she's not famous, but she was a contemporary of Susan B. Anthony. What made her distinctive was that she was a medical doctor, a researcher, and a member, vice president of the National Association of Working Women. She was a modern woman, had three children. She died in childbirth, which we thought was recognition that women do sacrifice for children. There's no denying it. It's unique. But we thought she was a perfect emblem. She was pro-life to the hilt.
Wow. Okay, well, we have about a minute left. Any other myths you want to pop on the subject of abortion?
Well, I think the most important thing to dissuade people from believing is that abortion has been a blessing or a guarantee for women of progress in society. There were some excellent legal briefs filed in the Dobbs case by incredibly accomplished women in law, medicine, business, and so forth. And they testified that abortion is actually a deterrent to women advancing. We simply need to adjust our public policies that take more account of the burdens of carrying a child and also raising kids and helping families do this. It's not discrimination to do so. In fact, it makes opportunity real.
All right. Thank you so much, Chuck Donovan. LozierInstitute.org for more information. Lozier is spelled L-O-Z-I-E-R. Thank you, Chuck. All the best.
My pleasure, Jerry. Thank you.